Okay, so you've brought us something really intriguing this time, this molecule called MOTSC. We've got some fascinating early research here, and our mission really is to unpack it for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We want to pull out the key things. What is MOTSC? What does the science seem to suggest it does? Kind of the essential guide.
Exactly. And the first thing that jumps out, I think, is just how unusual it is, its origin story.
Right, because most proteins, they're coded from DNA in the cell nucleus, but this one, it's different.
Totally different. MOTSC comes from the mitochondria.
The powerhouses,
Yeah.
the energy
You
factories.
know them. The instructions, the genetic blueprint for this little peptide, it's only 16 amino acids long. It's actually in the mitochondrial DNA.
Wow, okay, that is unusual.
It really is. And it makes MOTSC a pretty key player in the communication between the mitochondria and the nucleus. Like the mitochondria talking back to the main control center.
Retrograde signaling, is that the term?
That's the one. And this chat is vital for keeping the cell balanced, you know, especially when it's stressed metabolically.
So this little thing, born in the cell's engine room, is sending messages upstairs. That's quite a concept. What kind of messages are we talking about? Because the early stuff points to metabolism, big time.
Oh, definitely. The preclinical work, so studies in cells in animals, they strongly suggest MOTSC is, well, a bit of a metabolic powerhouse.
How so?
It seems to consistently improve how the body handles glucose, blood sugar, and insulin sensitivity, especially in muscle tissue.
Okay, and this is where, looking through the material, it got really interesting for me. These mouse studies, they showed MOTSC actually seemed to prevent some common problems, things like age-related insulin resistance or the kind you get from a high-fat diet.
Yes, exactly. And even preventing diet-induced obesity in some models.
I mean, that's potentially huge, right? Even in mice, that makes you sit up and take
It
notice.
absolutely does. And a key piece of this puzzle seems to be an enzyme called AMPK.
AMPK. Okay, what is that?
Think of AMPK. It stands for AMP activated protein kinase. Think of it like the cell's master energy sensor or fuel gauge. When cellular energy is low, AMPK gets switched on. And what's really fascinating is that MOTSC appears to directly activate AMPK.
So MOTSC flips the switch on this master energy sensor. What does that do for us metabolically? What are the downstream effects?
Well, when AMPK is active, it kicks off a cascade of beneficial things. It signals cells to pull in more glucose from the blood.
Better sugar use.
Right. And it also ramps up fatty acid oxidation,
Burning fat.
burning fat for fuel, exactly. So the bottom line for you listening is it seems to tell cells, use more fuel, handle sugar better. Pretty potent for such a small molecule.
Okay, improving metabolic flexibility, preventing fat buildup. That makes sense.
And it helps avoid that harmful lipid accumulation in tissues that can cause problems.
So it's not just sugar, it's fat too. You mentioned beta oxidation, that's the fat breakdown process.
Precisely. By boosting that, MOTSC helps the body, well, get rid of excess fat that might otherwise cause cellular stress or metabolic issues.
Okay, and there was something else intriguing related to fat, this idea of browning.
Yes. The browning of white adipose tissue.
Sounds weird. What is that? Cooking fat?
No, not quite. So we have different fat types. White fat mostly stores energy. Brown fat is different. It's metabolically active, burns calories to generate heat.
Like a little internal furnace.
Kind of, yeah. And browning is the idea of converting some of that storage white fat into more metabolically active brown-like fat cells. Some early research suggests MOTSC might encourage this process.
Which could mean burning more calories overall.
Potentially, yes. Increased energy expenditure. It's definitely an exciting area for weight management research, but still early days.
Definitely something people would be interested in. But it seems MOTSC isn't just about metabolism, right? The research you sent over also mentioned muscle health.
That's right. There's evidence from mouse studies indicating MOTSC treatment can improve physical performance.
How so? Like endurance.
Yeah. Things like endurance, overall physical capacity.
Yeah.
And interestingly, this was seen even in older animals.
Wow. Any idea how it might be doing that?
Well, some signs point towards better mitochondrial function within the muscle cells themselves, more efficient energy production for activity.
And it wasn't just performance, was it? I think I saw something about actual muscle size and strength, too.
Yes, that's been reported in several animal models, increases in both muscle mass and strength.
Okay, that's significant. And there was a specific mechanism mentioned, myostatin.
Right. Myostatin is basically a natural brake the body puts on muscle growth.
So it limits how big muscles get.
Exactly. And some studies found that MOTSC treatment actually reduced the levels of myostatin.
So, potentially taking the brakes off muscle growth a bit.
That's the implication. Yeah, that's a very specific finding with potentially big implications for muscle health if it holds up.
Fascinating. Okay, changing gears slightly. Inflammation. It sounds like MOTSC might have a role there too, kind of calming things down.
That seems to be the case, at least in the preclinical work. Anti-inflammatory effects have been observed.
How does it do that?
Well, it's been shown to inhibit the production of reactive oxygen species, ROS. Those are the unstable molecules that can damage cells and fuel inflammation.
Okay, so less oxidative stress.
Right. And it also seems to modulate cytokines, which are those signaling molecules involved in immune and inflammatory responses. So it suggests a broader role in just keeping cells healthy beyond just energy.
And then, even further afield, potential brain benefits. This molecule seems to get around.
It really does. It highlights how interconnected everything is.
Yeah.
There have been some hints in preclinical studies about neuroprotective effects.
Like protecting brain cells.
Potentially, yes. And even some suggestions of possible improvements in memory function in animal models. But, that's definitely an area needing much more investigation. Really preliminary.
Understood. Okay, so we've covered a lot of what MOTSC seems to do. Let's dive into the how. You mentioned something technical, the folate cycle, purine biosynthesis.
Right. So the primary mechanism seems to involve interaction with the folate cycle, which is a really central metabolic pathway involved in making building blocks for DNA, RNA, lots of things. MOTSC seems to tweak this cycle.
Okay.
Specifically, it seems to inhibit the de novo synthesis of purines. Basically, it slows down the creation of new purine molecules.
And the consequence of that is.
That leads to a buildup of another molecule called AICAR. 5-aminoaminazole for carboxamide ribonucleotide, if you want the full name.
ACAR. Okay. And why is that important?
Because ACAR is a known activator of AMPK.
Ah. So it comes back to AMPK, the fuel gauge.
Exactly. It's like a domino effect.
Yeah.
MOTSC tweaks the folate pathway, AICAR builds up, and ACAR flips the AMPK switch.
That's a really neat kind of indirect mechanism, but wasn't there also something about MOTSC actually going into the nucleus itself? That seems weird for something made in the mitochondria.
It does, but it underlines that direct communication line we talked about.
Yeah.
MOTSC has been shown to physically move to translocate into the cell nucleus.
And what does it do there?
It can interact directly with the nuclear DNA and influence gene expression.
So it's changing which genes get turned on or off.
Essentially, yes. Genes related to metabolism, stress responses, antioxidant defenses, things like that. So it's not just immediate enzyme effects, it's potentially reprogramming the cell's response long term.
Okay, this all sounds incredibly promising from the lab work, but now we need to ground this in reality for everyone listening. What's the actual status of MOTSC for human use right now?
Right, this is the absolutely critical part, despite all this exciting preclinical data.
Cells and animals.
Exactly. MOTSC is still firmly in the experimental category.
Meaning,
as of today, there are absolutely no completed clinical trials that have properly assessed its safety or its effectiveness in human beings. Zero.
That's a really important point to hammer home. Zero completed human trial.
Crucial. And it's not just us saying that. Regulatory bodies are aware of it.
Like the anti-doping agencies?
Yes. For instance, the U.S. anti-doping agency, USADA, lists MOTSC as a prohibited substance for athletes. Always prohibited.
Yeah.
They classify it as a metabolic modulator, which basically acknowledges its potential,
Yeah.
based on the animal data, to affect metabolism and maybe performance.
Right.
But it also highlights the massive lack of human safety data.
Right.
They're essentially saying this looks potent, but we don't know if it's safe for people.
Which makes total sense for athlete safety and fair competition. Now, inevitably, people hear about stuff like this, and sometimes, well, you can find things online sold for research.
That happens.
Yep.
But extreme caution is needed here.
Why is that?
Well, first, there are anecdotal reports floating around about side effects from people obtaining and using it. Second, and more importantly, we have no idea about long-term consequences in humans. None.
And legally.
Legally, MOTSC is not approved by the FDA for any human use. It's not a medication, it's not a supplement, it's not a legitimate dietary ingredient, period.
So buying online is risky business. No guarantee of purity, safety, dosage, anything.
Precisely. It's completely unregulated for human consumption.
Okay, crystal clear. Experimental, not approved, no human safety data. But looking forward, if, and it's a big if human trials do eventually show it's safe and effective, where might it be useful based on the early stuff?
Well, the preclinical findings certainly point in some interesting directions. given the metabolic effects?
Diabetes. Obesity.
Those are the obvious ones, yeah. Type 2 diabetes, obesity, maybe related conditions like fatty liver disease.
Makes sense. What else?
Its effects on muscle and inflammation suggest potential relevance for age-related issues. Sarcopenia, muscle loss with age frailty, perhaps.
Okay.
And maybe even cardiovascular disease, given the links between metabolism, inflammation, and heart health. And then further out, perhaps neurodegenerative disorders. But that's much more speculative.
But all of that hinges on one thing.
Absolutely. Rigorous, well-designed clinical trials in humans. That is the non-negotiable next step.
Got to prove it works in people, and crucially, that it's safe.
Exactly. Without that, it's all just interesting lab science. Future research needs to nail down the mechanisms in human tissues, figure out optimal delivery, and run those essential human studies.
Okay, so let's wrap this up for you, our listener. We've dug into MOTSC, this really unique peptide born in our mitochondria. Early science, mostly in animals and cells, suggests it has some pretty broad and potentially exciting effects on energy use, muscle health, inflammation, maybe even the brain.
A lot of potential shown in those early stages.
But MSHDI, and this is the big takeaway, it is still experimental. Critically, there's no established safety record, no proven effectiveness in humans. It is not approved for you to go out and use.
That cannot be stressed enough.
That leaves us with a thought to ponder, really. You know, given this kind of fascinating early data and the fact that it's not approved yet, what does this mean moving forward? As science keeps uncovering molecules like this, what are the implications, maybe even the ethical thoughts, we need to consider?
Yeah, how do we navigate that space between exciting potential and the need for rigorous proof and safety? It's definitely something worth thinking about as this research progresses.